Welcome to the Betting Above the Brim podcast, episode 93. Today's date, November 4th. It's opening day of college basketball. Little interesting side note, folks, before I begin. They used to do it the second Tuesday of the month of November, and they've moved it up, and it's opening day. So no, what better way today? We'll push the NBA to a side for a day, and we're going to focus solely and give you my college basketball preview. With my background in coaching and scouting, I can kind of give you the way I see things with teams and players in a little bit of a different light. So today's here how we're going to do it. We're going to bounce back between the men and the women. We're going to do the men, my men's first team All-American team that I think will be this year. Then we'll bounce to the women, and I'll give you my women's first team All-American team. Then we jump back. I'm going to give you a surprise team, a team that's either at, you know, on the men's side, you know, just at the bottom of the, or actually not even in the top 25, neither team. So I'm going to give you a surprise team for the men, a surprise team for the women that I think they're going to make runs based on my knowledge of the teams and the situations. Next, instead of right going to my national champion, I'm going to focus on a player that I like from one of those teams. Then we're going to go to the national championship odds. I'm going to give you a team that I think is runner-up, and then I'm going to give you a team that I think wins it all. It's going to be such an intriguing, intriguing year in college basketball. But let's begin with my men's first team All-American team. I'll give you the names of the players, and then I'll go back and I'll talk briefly about each player. For the men, first team, starting off at the guards, I got Caleb Love transferring. It's his second year now. Caleb Love over at the University of Arizona. Mark Sears, who's done a great job at being the point guard of Nate Oates' offense at Alabama. Cooper, capture the flag, the phenom freshman from Duke. Another freshman, Ace Bailey. You're going to hear a lot about this kid if you haven't heard of him yet. The star forward, 6'9", monster at Rutgers. And then the guy that's been in college for about 500 years at center, Hunter Dickinson from the University of Kansas. And let's get started with Caleb Love, who now in his last year, remember, this is the last year, folks, that people get their COVID year. So when you look at Caleb Love, second year, obviously, over at the University of Arizona. This is a Caleb Love last year that scored 18 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 3.4 assists, shot about 42% from the floor. The key with Caleb Love and needs to be improved is his three-point shooting. Only shot 33% this past year, 29.9% the year before. So why am I big on Caleb Love? Simply put, Caleb Love, second year in Tommy Lloyd's system, and now with Pal Lawson, with Omer Balo, with some of these guys gone, this guy kind of takes the reins of the offense and really is a de facto best player, best scorer. So an Arizona team that's going to be really dynamic offensively to watch. Obviously, Tommy Lloyd, with his experience with guards, is going to run that guard-oriented offense. Look for a big season out of Caleb Love. He's just got to shoot the ball better from three. Speaking of shooters, speaking of gunslingers, how about Mark Sears, the undersized, I don't know, you want to call him Jalen Brunson light of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And obviously the year that Sears had last year in Nate Oates' system was absolutely fantastic at 21.5 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, and 4 assists a night. This is a lefty guard that is very smooth and can get into his comfort zone, get into his spots and score. Now, the big thing about him, what he did this past year at 23-24, is he upped his three-point shooting percentage to 43.6%. This Alabama team is going to be fantastic. You'll see why in a little bit while I talk about the team, why this team is the number two ranked team preseason as they open up, I do believe it's tonight, Monday night, versus UNC Asheville. This dynamic team with Nate Oates, Mark Sears, my other guard from my first team All-American team. Let's move on to the forwards and Cooper Flagg. I don't got to read off no stats because he's a freshman. He ain't got no stats. But I'm going to tell you this. This kid at 6'9" can flat out do it all. Shoot it from three. Off the bounce. Mid-range game. Tenacious defender. Can run the floor. Can dime you up. Can do everything for the reason why I've always said there's three things that Maine are going to be known for. Poland Spring Water, Lobster, and Cooper Flag. And right now, he may be number three, but he may be number one. Now, I'm going to go on record here and say that this could be the best pro prospect to come out of Duke in a long, long time. A Duke team that at times have underperformed during the NCAA tournament. This is a big year for John Shire. Duke coming in as the number seventh ranked team in the nation. They had the best recruiting class, one of the best recruiting classes, and Cooper Flagg at the center of it. Folks, make sure you go watch this kid play. And you wonder why teams are lining up to capture the flag and get that number one pick of the 2025 NBA draft. But if there's a guy that could beat out Cooper Flagg for the number one pick, it's Ace Bailey. This kid out of Rutgers is absolutely dynamic. I watched him. Rutgers is number 25 in the AP Top 25 poll, and it'll be interesting to watch Ace Bailey and his athleticism, also at 6'9", along with Dylan Harper. You know the name Dylan Harper? That's Ron Harper Jr.'s little brother, a.k.a. Big Ron Harper, that played for Cleveland Cavaliers, that played for the L.A. Clippers and known for winning three rings in the backcourt, Michael Jordan, in that second three-peat of the Chicago Bulls. But as much as we want to talk about Dylan Harper, it's Ace Bailey at 6'10", out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this kid is a human pogo stick. Now, he may not be as finished of a product as someone like Cooper Flagg, but I'm going to tell you this right now. This kid is phenomenal. And if you look at a team like Rutgers, traditionally, if you watch them, they've struggled on the defensive end of the floor. I'm sorry, on the offensive end of the floor. They can always defend with Steve Peichel. Could they score enough? Well, with Ace Bailey, with Dylan Harper, with Jordan Dirtek, the Colonia kid, transferring to come home. With Zach Martini, another local kid from Princeton, transferring home. This could be the best offensive team Steve Peichel has had. And I think Steve Peichel is one of the 10 to 15 best coaches in the country. He just hasn't had the offensive firepower. Led by Ace Bailey, they should be dynamic. Last guy on my first team All-American team is Hunter Dickinson. Wait, what? He's still in school? Hunter Dickinson? Of the number one ranked preseason Kansas Jayhawks, obviously his second year after leaving the University of Michigan. And what can you say about Hunter? Besides the fact that he's got to be healthy. Remember, he had the shoulder injury that kind of limited him at once you got into the end of the season. 17.9, 10.9 last year, and he should be, as usual, a double-double machine. He's got to be able to continue to show the ability to try and shoot the ball from three, 36% or 35.5% or so last year, of 42.1%. I think he's going to want to show that a little bit more, Hunter Dickinson. I think Hunter Dickinson, if you look at Kansas, there's no, obviously with that recruiting class and with the transfers and with himself and KJ Adams coming back and obviously the point guard and Harris coming back, they are, and obviously AJ Storr transferring from Wisconsin. There's no reason why this team is the number one team in the country, but he is the middleman. He is the most important piece to Bill Self's offense. And if Hunter Dickinson can stay healthy and those guys stay together, they could be the national champion. They are number one for a reason preseason. I'm not going there. I'll get to that in a little bit. But Hunter Dickinson, my center. Once again, my first team All-American team preseason. Caleb Love of the University of Arizona. Mark Sears out of Alabama. Cooper Flagg out of Duke. Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. And Hunter Dickinson from Kansas. Let's move on to the women's side. And it's going to, after losing players like Caitlin Clark, like Camila Cardoza, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Aaliyah Edwards, you're wondering, where do we go from here in the women's game? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the women's game ain't going nowhere. In fact, I expect it to grow and continue to grow exponentially. And a big reason why is my first team preseason All-American team at the guards. Paige Beckers, the star guard out of UConn, who could have came out but decided to come back. I got a little theory about that. I'll get to that in a second. At the two guard, the pride of South Jersey, Philadelphia Rise, played for my guy Kevin Lynch. Hannah Hidalgo, if you didn't see her last year, boy, you done missed out. You better go watch her play this year. At the forwards, she transferred, and she changed the way how she pronounced her name. Kiki Irifarin. If I said that right, I may have said it wrong. Sorry, Kiki, if I mispronounced it. But Irifarin, I'm sorry, I got it not right now. Kiki transferred from Stanford. Tara Vanderbilt retired. She's going to go play with Lindsey Gottlieb at the University of Southern California. Her teammate, the great Juju Watkins, who I think eventually out of all of them, including Caitlin Clark, could have the best pro career. And then rounding it out, Madison Booker out of Texas. So when you look at Paige Beckers, you got to remember something, folks. When she came out, and I watched Paige Beckers play, when she played for an AU team called the Minnesota Metro Stars, if I'm not mistaken. Paige was such a dynamic force, but Paige hadn't been healthy until last year. And she was absolutely fantastic for the UConn Huskies in that run that she had. And I looked at her, and I look at her game, and I look at the way she plays, and it's amazing because she does it, really, folks, in so many different ways. Her ability to shoot the ball from three, be the point guard, and kind of distribute the ball and kind of get everybody involved. I've been such a big fan of Paige. Last year, scored 21.9 points, 5.2 rebounds, 3.8 assists. Paige Beckers, and I'm going to say this, folks, I got this sneaky suspicion. This is Geno's last run. Paige could have went pro, but Paige has a job to do, and that's to win a national championship. And she wants to do it for Geno. I got this crazy feeling in my head. And this is just mine, that Paige has come back to win a national championship. And if she wins it, I would not be stunned. Not be stunned if this is Geno Auriemma's last year at UConn. That's just me just thinking how this all goes down. Other guard, Hannah Hidalgo. I mean, what can you say about Hannah and what she did stepping in as a freshman after they lost Olivia Miles? By the way, Olivia Miles not on this list, but could be a second team All-American along with her teammate Sonia Citron. Between Sonia Citron, Olivia Miles, and Hannah Hidalgo, they have as good as a 1-2-3 punch there is in the NCAA women's basketball. The Fighting Irish, Coach Ivy's team, number 6 preseason. Hannah Hidalgo, what can you say about her? 22.6 points, 6.2 rebounds, 5.5 assists at 5'6". On a good day, this girl is an absolute hooper, and I can't wait to see that backcourt, a 2-point guard backcourt with her and Olivia Miles. And obviously, you got, I just talked about Sonia Citron, even someone like Kylie Watson. This is going to be Notre Dame's best team in a long time since Muffet McGraw left. Can Hannah Hidalgo and company get Coach Ivy to a Final Four? I would not be surprised if the answer is yes. But if I said that Hannah Hidalgo is one of the best threesome of players between herself, Olivia Miles, and Sonia Citron, the best 1-2 punch is Juju Watkins and Kiki Irifarin. Now I got it. Between Juju and Kiki, they played earlier today, and I watched the game versus Ole Miss, and they were both absolutely dynamic. and scoring, I do believe, I want to say 49 out of the 68 points versus an Ole Miss team coached by Coach Yell. By the way, shout out to Coach Yell. Know Coach Yell a little bit. Coach Yell is one of the best coaches in the country. If you don't know about Coach Yell, what she's done at Ole Miss, you better go look, because Coach Yell don't duck anybody. Coach Yell will play anybody, any place, anytime, even if that meant going to Paris to go play today. But this is more about, Kiki and Juju. This is going to be a dynamic duo. Like I said, 49 points today, 23 rebounds, 5 blocks today for Juju Watkins. So combined 4 steals. These two are going to be a dynamic duo to the point where it's an inside-outside game. Kiki kind of has really dynamic post moves. I want to see her step away from the basket a little bit. And Juju can create off the bounce. So what's going to be interesting about what happens at USC is, does everyone else get involved? What about Marshall? What about Smith, right? Could they knock down enough shots? They struggled today, only 1 of 11 from 3. That could be the Achilles heel from USC. I'll tell you what, the Achilles heel will not be Juju Watkins and Kiki Iriafin. Last is my center, or my last player, I should say, is Madison Booker, the star sophomore out of the University of Texas. And shout out to Vic Chancellor, who was the longtime coach at Mississippi State. And then headed over to go coach at the University of Texas, and has done a great job. And this kid is absolutely the goods. The stats that she put up last year, a Texas team that's number 4 preseason. You look at what Madison did at 16.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 6'1" stretch 4, can really do it all. The thing you have to look at is the continued, her play improving. Like, she only shot 1.7 threes. Maybe she steps out to the 3-point line, only shot 30% from the 3-point line. I do believe she shot really well, about 88% from the foul line. So Madison Booker, Texas, if you guys remember Coach Jody Conrad, this was one of the proud teams in women's basketball. They may have it back with Maddie Booker. So my first team women's preseason All-American team, Paige Beckers from UConn, Hannah Hidalgo from Notre Dame, Kiki Iriafin from USC, her teammate Juju Watkins, and Madison Booker. Let's jump in quickly to teams I think that may surprise. On the men's side, I am really big on Rick Pitino and St. John's. I think now that Rick has had a year under his belt, I felt like he kind of got together a little bit of a mash unit here in regards to who he brought in. But I think it's going to be different now with St. John's, with the transfer of a player of the likes of a Kadari Richmond, who I've gotten to see up close and personal, that I go to a lot of games over at Seton Hall. But it's more than that. It's getting RJ Lewis, who was a transfer from UMass, getting him for another year. It's Aaron Scott, the transfer. It's Smith, the transfer. Simeon Wiltshire in his second year out of Roselle Catholic. St. John's has a team that's more in the likes of Pitino. I expect a more up-tempo pressing team. I think they're going to be really good. And I think they could be the surprise team, not only in the Big East, but I think they make an NCAA tournament run, and I think they get to the Sweet 16. On the women's side, I know people are thinking it's homers because these are my guys. I'm going with TCU. Listen, folks, you have to realize that TCU was a top 25 team in the country before they got ravaged. And when I mean ravaged, they got ravaged by injuries. I mean, they had to have – folks, did you know that they had to have tryouts during the season just to fill their roster? But with Mark Campbell and Chavi Lopez by his side, these guys, I've seen it for a long time, and they have a roster that I think is being very much disrespected. I actually think they are going to win the Big 12. You want me to tell you why? It's because of, first off, and I'm going to say it, Haley Van Lith. You're going to look at me and say, what? Who? Let me tell you something, folks. Don't look at Haley Van Lith the way she was used at LSU. It was completely ass backwards. That's not the way they play Haley Van Lith. Haley Van Lith is a ball-dominating point guard, and from what I'm hearing out of Fort Worth, this kid is going to have an explosive year. Go look at the track record at Mark Campbell at Sacramento State even last year. He develops point guards. You want more? Do you know where Mark and Johnny came from? They came from Oregon. They had a guard named Sabrina Ionescu. You will see Haley Van Lith stats resemble more of the Haley Van Lith of Louisville with Jeff Waltz than the ones you saw last year with Kim Mulkey. Haley Van Lith will be that surprise player for that team. But it's more than Haley Van Lith. It's getting Taylor Bigby, the transfer over. It's getting Snowda Prince back this year. It's getting Maddie Scherer to transfer in. This team, folks, I'm sorry right now. I'm like, ready? They're going to go to the Sweet 16. And if they stay healthy and they can defend, their offense is going to be so scary of Van Lith. This is my sleeper team of all sleeper teams to make it all the way to the Final Four. It is TCU. I'm a big believer in Mark Anchovy, but I'm an even bigger believer of Haley Van Lith being used in the right way. Let's quickly get to who I think is going to be runner-up in women's and men's basketball. For the men, I'm going to go with Alabama. I just talked about the fact of what I see out of this team this year, right? Obviously, with Nate Oates as the head coach, with obviously a player of the likes of Mark Sears, who I think is a first-team All-American and could be the player of the year. But it's a little bit deeper than that, folks. When you looked at a team, right, what did they need? They needed more. So they went and got Aiden Holloway to transfer out of Auburn to give them a little bit of more depth in the backcourt. To me, getting Grant Nelson to move to the four is going to be absolutely dynamite. I think this is a big move for them. Diabate, I think, is going to improve this year. And the biggest reason why I'm a big believer, and you're going to think it's my Jersey homer, is getting Cliff Omori to transfer from Rutgers. Alabama's problems were in a defensive end, and they want a person to get up and down the floor. Now you have one of the premier shot blocker or rim protectors protecting the back line of that defense, and that should ignite not just their defense, but their offense. Because of getting Big Cliff, for Diabate's improvement, for getting Aiden Holloway, for Grant Nelson now moving toward his more natural position of a stretch five, and with Mark Sears running the point, Stevenson back for another year, back for another year, and with Nate Oates, this is my backup. This is my backup pick to win a national championship. For the women, really quickly, it's USC. I've already talked about it. Iriafin, and obviously the player Juju Watkins on the perimeter. They have an inside-outside punch, which they're going to give you at least 45 points and 20 rebounds a night, right? If they could just shoot the ball, knock down shots, I really do believe that they could be the national championship runner-up. But I'm going to take it back. There was a song when I was a kid called 93 Till Infinity. And it's been, I think, since 1993, if I'm not mistaken, and Matt may have to correct me, the last time that we had a women's and men's team from the same university win the national championship. And I do believe that was North Carolina. Charlotte Smith hit a game-winning three at the buzzer, and then obviously the 93 team with Dean Smith. And I'm going to UConn. I can't bet against Dan Hurley until Dan Hurley loses. I think Alex Caravan is going to have an absolutely phenomenal year. I think Diarra and Johnson games elevate tremendously this year as regards to getting the ball in their hands and being able to be playmakers more. But there's other parts of this roster that I really, really like. And I want you guys to remember the name Liam McNeely. He's a 6'7 kid out of Texas. He's one of the best freshmen in the country. He's going to be a big part of what goes on here with the UConn Huskies. And because of them, and because of the way they defend and the way Dan Hurley is, I can never, ever, ever, ever bet against UConn until they get knocked off. For the women, You would think I would go to South Carolina. This is no disrespect to Don Staley. They have a great team. They have a bunch of kids coming back. All their guards are back. But I just got this feeling that this is UConn's year. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for Paige. And here's the thing about UConn, folks, that we forget to remember. They, like TCU, were decimated by injuries. And if they could stay healthy, if Paige Bueckers could stay healthy, you know, AZ Fudd comes back from the ACL tear. Can she be healthy and get herself through the whole year? You know, KK Arnold, you know, Caroline DeShame, Jaina El Afi, like they, Aubrey Griffin's there for like the 15th season. Sarah Strong, the premier player in the country coming in. This team, folks, I think this is Geno's last year, and I think he goes out on top. So my men's and women's national championships both reside in the state of Connecticut and the UConn Huskies. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for November the 4th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be recorded on Wednesday, November 6th. We'll get back into the NBA. We'll talk a little bit more about college basketball. We'll briefly talk about the impact of Stephanie White getting the job with the Indiana Fever. For my producer, Maddie George, Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks. Remember, be on Sports Grid. Good night.